Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, hearing His Word and receiving His grace. If you're a guest or visiting with us, we extend a special greeting and welcome to you. Glad that you are here, along with all of our members alike. And please fill out an attendance card you can find in your pew. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 3, begins on page 184 in our hymnal. So we sing with our first hymn, 671, Sing with All the Saints in Glory. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
me of my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. Sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.' For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The beauty of the pure gospel is beyond compare. You are saved by God's grace alone, through the gift of faith alone, all on account of the word of the Holy Scriptures alone. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. From Ephesians chapter 2. You did not choose Jesus, but he chose you, as he told his disciples in John chapter 15. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. From Romans 5 verse 8. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. From Galatians 2, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3, 16 and 17. Only this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ saves and gives eternal life. The law cannot help us in any way toward our salvation. And so it is the tendency of Christianity today to solely focus in on the gospel, the love of God in Christ Jesus, and ignore the law of God. But the consequence of ignoring that law of God is undervaluing the work of Christ. Sin becomes weak to us, and it is dismissed as no longer a problem. Many don't even know today what sin actually is. Yet the Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. For the law of God is good and it is wise. It is not evil. We are evil. Sin gets taken too lightly in today's world. In some way, throughout all of our fallen history, this has always been the case. Wrong deeds are seen as good and right, but the good and virtuous deeds are mocked and rejected by the world around us. Virtue is seen as weakness, and deception and cruelty as honorable and respected. Now, Jesus, in his life, in his ministry, experienced nothing different. He entered into the world after the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, had been torn apart, split into two kingdoms. Both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom in the years that would follow were conquered by foreign enemies. Their people sold off into slavery, exiled. Their beloved sanctuary, the temple, destroyed. As a result of that, with the people of God left in shambles, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament ceased to be. And their religion was forever changed. That constant reminder in that holy space of the sacrifice of the one who would come for all the world was replaced by an emphasis now upon that people of God themselves, man's own goodness, and their power in prayer. Sinfulness, man's own corruption, was no longer seen as complete deprivation of the sinner, but merely as weaknesses to be overcome. More and more rules then were invented by the leaders of the people to increase their own holiness and their own ideas of righteousness. It was as it was before the flood, with every inclination of man's heart being only evil from the beginning. Judgment was truly needed, as it always is since the fall. And Jesus would be the one to bring it. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. The world will be judged by fire. Wickedness will be purged away, and only true good will remain. All who are sinners without faith in God and in His promises of salvation, they will be consumed. They will suffer forever for their unbelief and the fruit of it. Jesus is the great judge Himself, and all will have to answer before Him. No one will escape His eye. Many today argue over the meaning of the Scriptures. God's moral law from the Word of God, the Bible, is viewed as archaic, old-fashioned, out-of-date, irrelevant. It's from a bygone era. Many believe we need not follow the Bible at all, but trust in our own feelings, our own desires. No matter how convinced one may be of such a view, it remains wrong. And such people will be held accountable for these sins by God. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows the world's sin and all of its treachery, how awful we can be. He lived it. He experienced it firsthand. Jesus, as the Son of God, will not tolerate it this way forever. Fire will be cast upon the earth in judgment, and it is Jesus who will bring it. Now, these words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 are striking. They are not what most people think of when they think of Jesus. Even we as Christians try to move as quickly as we can away from such sentiments of our Savior, finding more comforting words. But this world and its evil, our sins and our unbelief, are no game. God does not overlook sin, and He does not excuse it as merely okay. He is justly offended, angered, and scandalized by our sin, and He must punish it in His full justice. And Jesus, the eternally begotten Son of God, knows this, knows the sin of His own creation. He knows the price that must be paid for all of our sin. For the wages of sin is death. God's complete justice over sin must be meted out. And Jesus knows what He has come here into this world to do. He knows His role. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. And we are faced with sickness, sadness, pain, misfortune of any kind, we hear the words of others tell us it will be okay. Hang in there. Be patient. We'll get through it. And we speak the same words to others, for what else is there to say? One cannot say the same to Jesus. Oh, it's okay, Jesus, hearing these words that you must be baptized with this baptism, that you will bring judgment upon the earth. You promised that you will rise again in glory. Death, of course, is not the end. And this is true. Yet, death is still death. It still leaves those who are living with sadness, with utter grief and despair. Sin still hurts us. It still breaks us. It ruins our relations with others. Sin is still sin, and death is still death. And Jesus must suffer it all. and his distress is overwhelming until it is accomplished. And then more heavy words from Jesus. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Now, Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. And this world is utter darkness, in sin and in evil. Sin and evil, of course, do not like the light, for their deceptions and their corruptions are exposed by the light. So with Jesus always comes division. Think of anything that you might have an opinion about. There may be many who hold the same view and agree with you, but there are always going to be those who disagree. Division. Even more so with God. His word, of course, is truth. It cuts right to the heart. It divides the soul from the spirit, the bone from its marrow. Before Adam's fall into sin, he had no division with God. But now all who are sinful, descendant from Adam, are divided away from God. All humans, all fallen angels are in opposition to God. But thanks be to God that Jesus has come also to bring peace. This was heralded at his birth. Jesus' suffering and his death upon the cross fully assuaged the wrath of God over sin. Because of Jesus, there is peace with God once more for those who believe in Jesus and are baptized in his name. That identity of Jesus, the Savior, the blessed Son of God, that is bestowed upon you in the waters of baptism. The Father is not divided from the Son. And while you and I remain sinful and corrupt and evil, the robe of Christ's righteousness covers over you, and the Father cannot see through it. Jesus was able to truthfully announce, "Peace be with you." And he does so to his disciples after his glorious resurrection. And he says the same thing to you. Even now, depart in peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yet even within the Christian church, the family of God, there remains division. Our own Augsburg Confession, one of our Lutheran documents, identifies the various different beliefs existing in the church at that time. Many Christians today reject infant baptism and say baptism saves no one at all. Many Christians believe that they must do good works in order to be saved. Many Christians believe praying to Mary and the other saints is pleasing to God. But none of these are pleasing to God. He does not take these differences, divisions from his word lightly. All will be set right on the last day when Jesus comes again in his glory. And all of our differences then, finally, as the people of God, will come to an end. And we will be fully and perfectly united in Christ. However, Jesus' return will indeed cause the greatest division, as all unbelievers, those who reject Jesus as Lord and Savior, will be separated away from us and from the grace of the Lord Jesus. But that is how seriously God takes our sin and the work of Jesus for us all. He does truly want everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, to believe in Jesus. For Jesus is the only way of life and of salvation, and the work of Christ's church, sharing the gospel of Jesus into the world, is no game. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus is present with his people, And he gives you the words to speak the gospel of Jesus out into the world around you. For in that gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ, of life and of salvation, our substitute, our sacrifice in Jesus, in that message, true peace is granted forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory. We're seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you.
And with
thy
spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up
to the
Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, He has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated. As mentioned, today is Rally Day, so we will have some special activities going on in the Fellowship Hall to kick off our Rally Day. And so you can join us there for a drama that is put on by our Sunday school kids, a little bit of Bible trivia, along with some singing, and then we'll break off into our classes from there. Church picnic is this afternoon as well. The grilling will still take place, but we'll move everything indoors due to the heat outside and still possible rain that is going on as well. So Fellowship Hall will be where we will be located for our church picnic. Next week is another hymn sing, so if you'd like to turn in requests for that from our hymnal, you can do so in the overflow of the sanctuary or let Keith know as we begin each of our services next week with a hymn sing. Lastly, this Wednesday is the beginning of our midweek school, so you're invited to join us for that if you are a student in that age range and would like to participate in learning more about our faith, then midweek school is that option this coming Wednesday starting at 5:45 here in the sanctuary. And the council meeting for this coming Tuesday has been canceled for the month, and so we'll resume with that meeting following in September. Other announcements you can find printed within your bulletin. We go forth in the name of our Lord, and we're thankful for his grace.